For our reading from God's Word this evening, we're turning to the Gospel of Luke. So the Gospel according to Luke, we're turning to the 8th chapter, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I want this evening to deal with a burden too heavy to bear. That was the case with that man Jairus. And that heavy, heavy burden brought him to the feet of Christ. So we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And for the sake of time, we'll go down to verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the damsel, of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Amen. We pray the Lord will bless the word to our hearts tonight and speak to us from it and encourage our hearts this night. Before we look into the word, let us just unite our hearts in a word of prayer, and let us with all sincerity look to the Lord for the ministry of the word now. O loving Father and eternal God, we bow humbly before thee. We do so, Lord, in all our need. Thou, Lord, knowest the needs of every individual here tonight. Lord, thou knowest the need of the preacher. And, O Lord, I'm very conscious of those words that thou didst say unto thy disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Nothing. Of ourselves, dear Lord, we're bankrupt. And so, Lord, we come before thee, seeking thy help through the power of the Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me and mold me, mend me and fill me. Oh, come, blessed Spirit of God, and breathe upon us tonight. Breathe upon us all this evening. Grant to me that power that only the Spirit is able to give. that we might be able to preach the word. And in preaching the word, we'll preach Christ and we'll make much of his precious blood. In his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 8. And once again, through the word, we're coming to the feet of Christ. Verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Following the mighty deliverance by Christ in the life of the man that was called Legion, the Gadarenes made it very clear that they did not want Christ to continue in their midst. Verse 37 of this chapter, we read, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him. That's a very strong word. Besought him. The word means to plead earnestly. Besought him to depart from them. Isn't it amazing that individuals such as the men of Gadara would beseech the Lord, plead with him to depart from them? So the Lord didn't stay where he wasn't wanted. And he went up into the ship and returned back again, verse 37. There's something we should note here. The Lord Jesus never returned to visit the men of Gadara. They would never again have the opportunity to meet with Christ or he with them. But if he was rejected in one place, he was received in another. As we read there in verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The people of Galilee, we are told, gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The word received, they gladly received him. That word received means without reservation. They received him without reservation, no questions asked, no hesitation. They received him without reservation, if you like. They welcomed him with open arms. Now, while this evening, the word that the Lord has laid upon our hearts will be directed primarily to God's people, there is a word here for any in this service who might be gambling with their soul, and they think and they believe that they can choose Christ at any time and any day. I want you to know that is not the case. For the men of Gadara, they pleaded with Christ to depart from them. And I wonder, are you like the men of Gadara? You have been pleading with that individual who has sought to win you for Christ. And you have said, if not in words, but certainly in your heart and in your thoughts, you've said to that person, I beseech you, don't talk to me again about church. I don't want to know anything about Christ. I am tired listening to you telling me about conversion. And in your heart, you have been beseeching them not to speak to you again. Because you don't want Christ. And like the men of Gadara, you want Christ to depart from you forever. And I tell you, you better be careful what you wish for. For the men of Gadara, this was their last opportunity. Because Christ never went back again. Never went back again. Never. Never did he cross over the waters of Galilee. And you have heard it many times from this pulpit, I have no doubt. In gospel meetings, you've been told this may be your last opportunity. The Lord may not for you ever come back here again. And you'll have gambled away your soul. And you'll pass into a lost, Christless hell. And what you have desired, no more Christ. When you're in hell, it'll be no more Christ. That's guaranteed. But if the men of Gadara didn't want the Lord and besought him, pleaded with him to depart from their coast, when he returned over Galilee, well, there was a people there, as we have read. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. For they were all waiting for him. And there was one man in particular who was waiting for him. One man. And that one man, we're told, was a man called Jairus. And upon seeing the Lord and approaching the Lord, we're told what he did. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Here we are again at the feet of Christ. May we find ourselves this night at the feet of Christ. And if there are any Jairuses in this service tonight, because Jairus had a burden that was so heavy it almost crushed him. It was so heavy, it brought him down and down to the feet of the Savior. And maybe you're here tonight with a similar burden. For Jairus, he had a burden that was too heavy to bear. And there was only one person who could lift that burden. It was Jesus of Nazareth. And there's only one person can lift your burden. There's only one person who can solve your problem. There's only one person who can meet your need. And you can meet him tonight down there at his feet. One is first of all to consider this man with a burden. Here is a father who was burdened about his one only daughter, who was about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. It would almost bring a tear to your eye just reading those words. One only daughter. about 12 years of age. And this only daughter of Jairus lay a dying. And he fell down at the feet of Christ. And here we have, first of all, the person he came to. The verse begins with the words, "And behold, there came a man." That's what he was. He was a man, just a man, an ordinary man. And he was a man with a burden too heavy to bear. When he came to Christ that day, he came to the right person because he came to another man. A man who could identify with him. Yes, I know he is God. And praise the Lord, he is. He is the God-man, two distinct natures and one person, God forever. But the wonderful thing is that he's not only God, and he can do all things. He's also man, and he's man, therefore he's able to identify with us. You recall that day when the Savior went to Jacob's well, and there he met the woman of Samaria. And he asked her for a drink of water. He was thirsty. What does that tell you? That tells you he's man. And then later, after he had dealt with that woman, she went away into the city and she said, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did." He's God. He was thirsty as man is thirsty. But he is able to tell the woman all that ever she did. That tells me he's God. You remember that time he was in the vessel with the disciples and a great storm blew up and the disciples were afraid. They were sure they were going to drown. And they went to the back of the boat, and there was the Savior fast asleep. He was tired. And we'll notice in that particular incident, we're told that they took Jesus even as he was into the ship. In other words, the Savior was so tired, those words mean that they had to carry Christ into the ship. He was tired. See, he's man. But then the disciples awoke him. And what did he do? He stood up and he stilled the tempest. He's God. You recall as he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and he saw his best friends weeping. He saw Mary weeping, and we're told Jesus wept. He's man. And then he went to that tomb, and they rolled away the stone, and the Savior said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. He is God. And my, with the day that Jairus came to Christ, he came to the right person. And dear Christian, tonight this tells me that Christ being the God-man, he is the one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Mark the words, touched with the feelings. The Lord Jesus knows how you feel. Your trials are his trials. Your troubles are his troubles. Your tears are his tears. He's touched. And my, when Jairus came to the Savior that day, the Savior's heart was touched. With the feelings. The word touch means to enter into. When someone's in trouble, we can put our arm around them and sympathize with them, but we don't know how they feel. But the Savior does. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And Jairus came to the right man, one who could identify with him. He's the man to carry our burdens. He's the man who is able to lift our spirits. He's the man who's able to comfort us. He's the man who can turn our nights into day. He can make all things new. And just as Jairus came that day to the Lord and to the feet of Christ with all his burden, and with that burden that was almost crushing him, remember what Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Praise the Lord. Casting all your care, that word care, means to be drawn in different directions. How often have you felt that way? Pulled in different directions. How often have you said, when trouble comes upon you, you've said, I hardly know what to do. I hardly know what way to turn. You've said that, haven't you? That's just about how Jairus felt that day when he came to the person of the God-man Jesus Christ. And he brought that burden to the Savior. And I would say tonight, all your anxieties, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave them there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. He's the brother who's born for adversity. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. As well as the person of the problem, Jairus made known to the Savior his problem. His daughter of 12 years of age lay a-dying. Regarding this burden, we can say it was a real burden. It was real. Jairus felt the weight of it. No one can deny, in reading these words, that Jairus had a burden that was real and he had a burden that was heavy. 12-year-old, only child. No doubt he doted on her. But in the very next verse, we read about another who felt that her problem was real too. You'll notice regarding this woman of verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years. Same length of time. In other words, around the time that Jairus' daughter was born, this woman had a disease that was born about the same time. And you look at the two individuals and you say, well, which was the worst burden? Which was the heaviest burden? Here was a woman who had a disease for 12 years and there was no cure. And all the money she had, she'd spent it on physicians, and none of them could help. In fact, she was worse Now, which was the worst burden? You see, to the both of them, their burdens were real, real. And we may say, oh, I know someone else has a burden, but it's not as heavy as mine. My troubles are their troubles, not as severe as mine. And the other person can say the same thing. Because you see, all our burdens are real to us personally. Isn't that right? But you know the wonderful thing? Each of these individuals, the woman and Jairus, well, the Lord was able to lift the burden from both of them. That's it. He was able to lift the woman's burden. He was able to lift Jairus' burden. And whatever your burden is tonight, whether you think yours is heavier or lighter than the person beside you, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Christ is the great burden bearer. That's why we sang tonight, days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. Doesn't matter what your burden is. He's the one who's able to lift it. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. The burden was real. The burden had to do with a relative. Those are very powerful and poignant words. He had one only daughter. Mark tells us that Jairus came to the master and down at his feet cried, my little daughter. Those are words of affection, aren't they? If that daughter of Jairus was 30 years of age, I'm sure Jairus would still refer to her in this way, my little daughter, my baby. And that's what made the burden heavier. And where could Jairus go but to the Lord to beseech him to do something for my little daughter? And isn't Jairus just one of a multitude of parents? Who are often found down at the feet of Jesus and crying out, Lord, do something with my son. Lord, do something with that daughter of mine. And you've spent many a time, many an hour down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for your children. Well, my wife and I can join you, so I know what it's like. But it's interesting. In the Gospels, you never read of children praying for their parents. It's always the parents pleading for the children. And what is significant about that? Surely this highlights the fact that many a parent has spent many an hour at the feet of Christ praying for their children. Well, that's the place to be. Because it was there at the feet of Christ that Jairus got the answer. You'll not find the answer anywhere else but down at the feet of Jesus. That brings us to the place. We're told that Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue, but when he fell down at Jesus' feet, he fell at the feet of a greater ruler, the ruler of heaven and earth. And here we see Jairus at the place of humility, down at the feet of Jesus. He readily and willingly fell at the feet of the one who was greater than he. He was a ruler. But he took the humble place, down at the feet of Christ. I tell you, there's nothing like trouble to humble you. There's nothing like trouble to remove any pride there is in your heart. Because you know that when you have a burden that you cannot bear, there's no room for pride. And you're humbled, and you're brought low. And there you are, down there, down in the humble place at the feet of Christ, and just pleading with the Lord for mercy. Like Bartimaeus and the other man who was with him. And the Lord Jesus passed by that day and he heard the great commotion, wanted to know who it was. And then he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." He was beat, you see. No pride there. He just cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And really, that's what Jairus was doing. He was down at the Savior's feet, and he was just pleading with the Lord, "Have mercy. My little daughter, and she's only 12, and I love her. She's all my world. And she's dying. She's dying. Have mercy on me." Or like the man with the lunatic son, who brought his son, his only son, to Christ. And what was his prayer? "Have compassion on us." He didn't just say, "Have compassion on my son." No, he said, "Have compassion on us." In other words, what was happening to his son, the father felt the pain of it. And when one of our sons had a close call about a month ago, and we stood there in the hospital ward, I, like my wife, wished I could have been in that bed instead of my son. And Jairus felt the pain. And that man with the lunatic son felt the pain. And he would have changed places with his son. Jairus would have changed places with his daughter. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." James 4:10. "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And my, how the Lord lifted up Jairus, and how the Lord lifted up his daughter. As well as the place of humility, it was the place of helplessness. Helplessness. When Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet, he did so as a completely helpless man. His child was dying. Nobody else, nobody in the face of the earth could have helped Jairus. He was helpless. I remember a number of years ago when I was ministering in Newton Abbey, I had another church to look after. And in that church, there was a man and his wife, and they had a daughter, and I believe she would have been about 12. And she had a skin disorder, which meant that her mother had to go into her bedroom, the bedroom of the child, every day and vacuum the carpet and clean the bed of dead skin. And at her joints, there were all sores, open sores. You can imagine what that was like for those parents. Oh, they had prayed, oh, they had prayed and prayed. And then one night, they told me later, they said, one night we couldn't take any more of it. And they fell literally upon their knees. And they cried to God to have mercy on their daughter. And they prayed all night. And glory to God, the Lord answered their prayer. And he healed their daughter. And sometimes that's where the Lord brings us. Down to the place where we recognize we're absolutely helpless. We can do nothing of ourselves. We're brought to an end of ourselves. And there's only one place for us to go, and that is down at the feet of Jesus. No other place. Not only the place of humility and the place of helplessness, it was the place of hopefulness. Jairus being in that place was an indication that he had placed all his hope in the Lord. After all, where else could he go? There was no hope anywhere else. Nowhere else. The only hope was to be found in the Lord, and there he was, down at the feet of Christ. His only hope. Just as Christ is the only hope for eternity. And regarding that son or that daughter of yours, the message is the same. Christ is your only hope. And there's only one place for you and I, and that's down at the feet of Jesus, placing all our hope in him to ease our burden and to solve our problem and to meet our need. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The man with a burden, then you have the man and his believing. We have here a remarkable example of true believing faith in the Son of God. For when Jairus came to the Savior that day, he did so believing that the Lord could help and the Lord would hear and the Lord would heal his dying daughter. And here we see it all in his plea. He fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Mark, the account gives us a little more detail. Mark 5, verse 23. He besought him greatly. We can see from these words that this father was truly burdened for his daughter. The word beseech is a word that refers to being in want. It refers to a thirsty man, a man who's dying with thirst and he wants water. That's the word that's used here. And that gives us a picture of the burden that Jairus had. He wanted to see his daughter healed. He wanted to see his daughter raised up as much as a dying man wanted water to slake his thirst. Believer, when we come to pray, is that how we pray? Do we beseech the Lord like that? Or do we just more or less say our prayers? You know, the way we taught our children to pray when they were young, we went into the bedroom and we'd say to them, "Now be sure and say your prayers." And sometimes we haven't really graduated from that. And maybe we're still just saying our prayers. Well, my, Jairus was not saying his prayers. He was beseeching the Lord greatly. As a man dying of thirst. You have his petition. He petitioned the Lord to come into his house. Or as Mark puts it, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live." Jairus believed. Jairus believed that the Lord would give him and was able to do for him what he had asked. "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." And Jairus believed the Lord could heal his daughter. You know, we all know the thing that plagues us all the time when we pray, and that is that old sin of doubt. We pray, "Yes, Lord, save my son, save my daughter." But yet at the back of our minds there is that niggling doubt. Well, there was no doubt in the mind of Jairus. It didn't matter how dark the hour, or how heavy the burden, or how great the problem, Jairus believed that Christ was the answer. And he still is. He still is. So when we come to pray for souls, let's come like Jairus. And let's get down to the feet of Christ and beseech him like a dying man, dying of thirst, must have water. May we come and pray, "Lord, I must have this prayer answered." Like the man who came to Christ to be healed, and the Lord said, "Believe ye that I can do this?" What was his answer? "Yea, Lord, I believe." And the Lord would say to us, "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can do what you're asking me?" May we be able to say with hand on heart, "Yea, Lord, I believe. I believe." Notice his persistence. When we consider the records given by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see how Jairus persisted in prayer, even though when matters got worse. say, well, how much worse can they get? A man's little daughter, 12 years of age, at the point of death. Well, they did get worse. And Jairus received that terrible news. Messenger came. Why troublest thou the master? Thy daughter is dead. What a hammer blow that must have been. Thy daughter is dead. Verse 49. That messenger didn't break it to Jairus gently, did he? Just, thy daughter's dead. Now, what would Jairus do now? The messenger said, why troublest thou the master any further? Isn't it as well Jairus didn't listen to the messenger? What did Jairus do? Well, Jairus prayed. Matthew 9, verse 18, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. She's dead. But the point is this, Jairus did not give up. She was no longer at the point of death. She was dead. But Jairus' head to the Lord. Come. The Lord, or Jairus, was saying to the Lord, lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. Many another person would have said, it's too late, it's too late. Like Mary and Martha. Sent word to the Savior, he whom thou lovest is sick. When did the Lord come? 4 days later. As far as Mary and Martha were concerned, the Lord had come too late. Not what they said, not what Martha said, but he's been in the grave 4 days. Behold, he stinketh. Master, it's too late. But glory to God, while there's a God in heaven, it is never, never too late. Never too late. And maybe that's how you feel about that person that you're praying for. And they seem to be further away from God than ever before. And deeper into sin than ever before. And more hostile. More opposed to the gospel than ever before. And you think to yourself, it's too late. It's, no, it's not. No. Why should we think a thing impossible when God is able to raise the dead? What did we sing there tonight? All things are possible to him that can, in Jesus' name, believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme. Thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee. Why? Because all things are possible to thee. Take heart tonight, believe. Take heart. As I've already said, I'm where you are. And the things that have been prayed for, I confess that it has crossed my mind, oh, it's nearly too late now. and need to do what Jairus did. Jairus prayed even after his 12-year-old little girl had passed away, because he still believed. And what does the Lord? What did the Lord Jesus say? There in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, this was the Lord said this. Here's the Lord, and he's encouraging his people to pray on. And he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. That word, faint. That word, faint, means to cave in. It also means to desert your post. It also means to lose heart. Now, do you understand what we said at the beginning? The Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows that there are times when we lose heart. And he knows those times when we cave in and we say, I can't go on anymore. Well, he's saying to us tonight, saying to you tonight, don't cave in. Don't lose heart. Whoever you're praying for, whatever you're praying for, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. If anybody was to lose heart, it would have been Jairus. But he persisted in prayer. And finally and briefly, you have the man and his blessing. First of all, we see the master and his walk. Upon receiving Jairus' petition, we see what the Savior did. In Mark 5 and verse 24, we're told that there was a great company of people. Much people followed him and thronged him. But then it says Jesus went with him. There's a difference. Much people thronged him, but only one went with him. And that one was Christ. I've often thought of that. Jairus has just received the news his daughter is dead. His wife is back at home, no doubt sitting there looking at the still form of their only daughter. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Jairus to walk that road back home? What would he say to his wife? To walk into the bedroom there and see his only child, the child that meant all the world to him, lie there. The still form of his dead child. For Jairus, that would have been a long, lonely, painful road if he had to walk it alone. But he didn't. Listen to the words. Jesus went with him. Sure, he couldn't have had better company than that. A man of sorrows, the one who's acquainted with grief, walked with him. And we feel sorry for those who don't know this Lord. And when distress comes, when trouble comes, when despair comes, when the darkness comes, when death comes. They have nobody to go with them, other but those who will follow them. But they don't have the one to go with them. If you don't know the Lord, you need the Lord. So that you're able to say, when that hour comes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. If the Master in his word, he had a word for Jairus, fear not. It's always good to get a word. And then you have the Master and his work. It was a powerful work because he raised up that child. And he's the resurrection and the life. It is a proven work because he told the parents to give the child meat. Proven. She's alive, all right. See, when the Lord does a job, he does it well. It was a perfect work. Did you notice who was in the house? The Lord put all the so-called mourners, weepers, and wailers out. They were wailing 1 minute, and the next minute they were laughing at him. When he said, she's not dead, she only sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. Wasn't much depth to their sympathy, was there? Well, if you look carefully, you'll discover after you put them all out, there are only 7 people in the house. Peter, James, and John. Mom and Dad, and the 12-year-old, and Christ. Just 7 people. 7 is the number of perfection. And in that house that day where Jairus and his wife and 12-year-old lived, Christ did a perfect work. Sure, he always does. It was a perfect work, complete. Take heart. Don't give up. Come down to the feet of Christ and plead with him as Jairus did for your daughter or your son or your loved one. And keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for such a wonderful Savior. We thank thee, Lord, for the companionship of Christ. We thank thee tonight, Lord, for his friendship. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And, O Lord, have us to learn tonight from Jairus. May we spend much time at the feet of the Master and beseech thee, Lord, as Jairus did. Pray to thee as Jairus prayed. And we believe, Lord, that thou wilt yet do a perfect work. Answer prayer that thy name might be glorified. And any, Lord, tonight that are here and they have their own burdens, And that burden is a son or a daughter. Lord, answer those burdened prayers and bring that wayward child home from the far country to the Father's house. And what a homecoming that would be. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Keep us much in prayer. Be pleased to be with us tomorrow night. Bless the Reverend McRae as he travels to London tomorrow. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.